Sunday in Advent. It's all about peace. And today's message is peace on earth. Peace on earth. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. It's seven books from the end of the Old Testament. Micah chapter 5. And as you're turning to Micah chapter 5, today's scripture reading is from Psalm 4, verses 6 through 8. And as you're turning, I just want you to listen carefully what Psalm 4, 6 through 8 says. It says, "There are many who say, 'Who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.'" Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. What the psalmist in those couple of verses was talking about was, man says, who's going to be good to us? Who's going to show us any good, any favor? And when life is uncertain, God is certain. When life is unsafe, God is our safety. And when life is filled with unrest, God is our rest. When we go to our cupboards and we go to our refrigerator and it's empty, nobody feels good then, do they? No. You don't even have to answer. I know the answer. No. Well, let's see. I need a snack. Never mind. But when it's full, we all feel good. When the cupboards and refrigerator are full of food, we feel good. And what verse 7 is saying there, it says, "The Lord has put gladness in our hearts even more than when the cupboards or the refrigerator are full." He's saying in the times of the harvest, when all their bins were full of grain, he puts even more gladness in their hearts and in our hearts than those times. The end of chapter 4 in the psalm says, he gives us enough peace. God gives us enough peace that we're able to go to sleep. And then when we go to sleep, that we rest easy. Rest comes easy. And I know for some of you out there, and for me at times, rest does not come easy. Now, there's a certain point we go to sleep all right. But rest does not come easy. We go to sleep, and the sleep comes sometimes out of pure exhaustion. But the rest isn't there. We wake up, and we're still exhausted. We're still tired. We still don't have peace, and we aren't rested. But God brings that peace to us to allow us to go to sleep and get rest when we go to sleep. Peace is something we've always sought out. We've sought it out from the beginning of time. Peace has been sought out. And I did a message up in Perkins. Eric and Kisha were there. And I talked on the same thing. And I'll be expounding on that just a little bit. But the same thing goes. The Indians sought it. They had the peace pipe. When they wanted to make peace, they had the peace pipe. Those that have been in the military longed for the peace talks. And longed for them to be resumed. And when they broke down, it was no fun. It was no good. That meant there was no peace and no rest. We're searching now for global peace, for world peace. Rex just read about finding peace and searching after it. And people dying to preserve peace in this world. Why do we constantly search for peace? More importantly, why should we? Why should you and I search for peace, look for that, and get it in our lives? And I truly believe that when we find peace and when we get it into our lives and apply it to our lives, when we demonstrate peace to those around us, our families, our coworkers, our fellow drivers on the road, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that will end and solve many of the world's problems. The hunger, the poverty, the war, the hatred, the depression, the suicide, when we find peace, those things will disappear. What would it look like if we had peace in our lives? I believe that while we can practice peace and we can have peace in our lives and we can demonstrate it, I'm not talking about peace that comes with a technique. Our neighbors across the street have a technique that can teach you about peace, but they don't give you peace. That peace comes from God. There are very peaceful people, by the way. I have toured their facility. They were very generous in showing me around. They have told me that our alarm system is broken because it keeps going off. I told them, no, they keep breaking in. Except this last weekend when they called, and Mark, they called you and Eric and me, and they called at 4:30-ish in the morning to tell us our alarm was going off, and they'd called the police. They're good neighbors that watch out for us. And Mark, thank you for coming up here both times. Nothing happened, luckily. But the other times we had been broken into, and when I explained that to them, they didn't comprehend that at first. They said, what? It's broken? I said, no, they broke into our church. Oh, no. She finally understood, and she said, no, there's no way that happens. I thought, yeah, absolutely. So they have promised and vowed to be good neighbors and watch out for us. They are peaceful people. I know some in our own church think, that's the enemy. Love your enemy, right? Are you telling me that everybody you work with that is not part of Prayer, Faith, World Outreach, independent, interdenominational church is an enemy? Are the Baptists enemy? Some of you may view that as they are, but they're not. And we put up those denominational walls again. We don't. I don't feel we do. But I mean, we as in the Christian world, a lot of times, we put up those walls. And peace is all about breaking down those walls. Breaking down the cultural, the racial, the economic barriers. I have heard over the years people tell me, I have money and you will do this for me. And I thought, well, if I do it for you, it's only because I do it for someone that has no money. Someone the other day on the phone told me, I have money and I will sue you, so you will do this for me because I have money. I said, well, here's my name. Have your attorney contact me. It's not something that's possible. Peace breaks down those barriers. People don't think they're better than others when they have peace. Peace has been sought at in the Bible time and time again. In Jeremiah 8, the people sought peace, they did not find it. In Ezekiel 7, people sought peace again, they did not find it. It said, it did not come to us, though we sought it. Oklahoma City, 2013. Some of you may be searching for peace and you will not find it. Micah chapter 5. Verse 2 through 5. And I actually only had two verses in here I was going to read, but I backed it up a little bit because I think it's important. And it says, but you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one, capitalized, the one, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until that time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And this one shall be peace. Amen. This one, capitalized, shall be peace. So what would it look like if we had peace in our life, if we understood it? And we lived it according to Scripture. First of all, we would know from this that Jesus is peace. Jesus is peace. He himself is peace. And he has been sent. Ephesians 2:14 again confirms this, saying he himself is our peace. That same thing is reiterated in Ephesians. We read last week in Isaiah 9, we saw it on the video this morning, the names of Jesus, and one of those is Prince of Peace. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Again, peace doesn't come with a technique. There are techniques to help you discover peace and understand it. And certainly there are exercises to apply it to your life. Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Part of the Christmas story. And it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" So we know now that Jesus is peace. And according to the angels and what they're proclaiming, peace is now on the earth. Thank God for that. So we know it's here. We know where to find it. Now let's turn to Romans. I'm going to just turn to a couple other scriptures. Romans chapter 16. Peace is on earth. Jesus is peace. And then Romans chapter 16 will tell us how to deal with that and how to handle that. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 through 20 says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." Point number one. Point number one, note those that do that. We want to note them and avoid them. Now, that's not saying that people that don't believe the same as we do, but it says those that are trying to cause division among you according to doctrine, offenses with you, avoid those people. Verse 18, "For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil." Verse 20 here, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." So we have to know what to avoid, who to avoid, but we also have the promise that says the God of peace will crush Satan under our very feet. Again, amen to that. Go back several books to Hebrews. And it says to look for peace in here. Hebrews chapter 12. And it's so much like last week when we talked about hope. There are so many things involved in seeking and finding hope. But at the same time, it boils down to a simple process, a simple knowledge, a simple faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through 17. And it says, "Pursue peace with all people, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many have become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when Esau wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." So we're not supposed to just look for peace, but we are supposed to pursue peace, go after it with a vengeance. It's not enough to sit around and do that. Many people say, I feel I have a calling. I feel I've been called to do this. I feel like I should do this. God wants me to do this. Then get up and do it. Get up and do it. I feel God wants me to clean my room. I feel God wants me to clean out the garage. I wonder why it's still dirty. Because I'm still waiting for God to drop something in my lap like a cleaning person is going to come in for free and say, you know, God sent me to clean your room and your garage for you. We wonder why God hasn't come in and done a work in our life. And we're sitting around waiting for God to do that work, but we're waiting for God to just drop it in our lap. Most great jobs that come to people, they went out and pursued those. And probably tripped and stumbled a few times on their way to success. Once in a while, a good job and a great job you will stumble into that, and someone will give that to you. But more often than not, you've got to pursue it. Peace is not going to come to your household if you're not pursuing it. Peace and rest is not going to come in your life if you are not exercising that and demonstrating that to other people. If you spend your work day at work and you're chastising people and you're riding them, why in the world would peace be in your house? I gave kind of a stern response to somebody that wanted God to bless their mess. I said, why? You've shown to be irresponsible in this situation. Why would God clean it up for you to be irresponsible again? Thank God. They said, aha, you may have something there. Now, whether they chose to do anything with that afterwards, that's up to them. But when God calls us to something, we have to pursue that. Or we're just using those fancy words, being called. He says, pursue peace with all people. That includes a peaceful Buddhist across the street. That includes the loud church down at the end of the road here at 240. That includes the Pentecostal church down the street. The Kingdom Hall further down on Anderson Road. We have four churches. Four churches that meet in Ground Zero. A Saturday church, a Sunday morning church, a Sunday afternoon church, and a Sunday evening church. Three of those churches are trying to start a new church, and they need a place to start. And some of you may or may not agree with why we do that. This church started someplace, did it not? And whether it was in its own facility or a shared building with another church, they want to spread the word of God? Amen. Let's go for it. Are they coming into our church? No. Well, I hope they come into yours then. Let's break down those barriers. Peace comes. Peace comes to those that pursue it. I'm going to close in 2 Corinthians. And as you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, be reminded that Jesus is peace, and peace is here on earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10 and 11, and it says, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for the edification and not for destruction. And let me just stop there. Paul said, I'm writing this letter to you. And I'm trying to be nice in the letter because if I was there, I'd be a little sharp. Just like some may feel, I'm a little sharp when I say, if you have a calling, go pursue it. Don't wait for Jesus to plop it in your lap or someone to say, here's your ministry. Thanks for doing nothing to get it. Good luck with it. I hope you do something with it. Paul sent the letter ahead of time saying, if I was there, I may be sharp with you guys, because he had some concerns. But as he closes, he says in verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And when you do this, the God of love and peace will be with you. Amen. Paul preferred the gentle approach. He preferred to write it in letter rather than be there in person and be sharp with them. Today, if you're here seeking peace, I just want you to allow us to pray for you. You may have unrest. You may just be weary. It may be the holiday season. I'm out trying to buy gifts and running around and I'm just wore out. You probably got it off kilter just a little bit. God doesn't desire for us, especially in this time of year, to celebrate the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, to be worn out. He wants to give us hope. He wants us to have peace. And He doesn't want us worn out. Let's bow our heads. Father, today as we come before You in prayer, we just ask that You work in our hearts and in our minds to slow us down, to bring peace into our life, to give us that rest that only You can give. No technique can bring that into our life. It can make us aware of it. It can make us understand it. But You bring the peace. You bring the hope. You fill our hearts with joy and with gladness, more so than the season when the grain is bountiful. Father, today just look into us. Look into our hearts. Lord, as we seek peace today in this Advent season, help us to understand Emmanuel, God with us. God, help us pursue You. Help us pursue truth. Help us to pursue peace in our life. God, help us avoid those that bring division, as Your word says. Help us to know it, understand it, find it, apply it, and demonstrate peace in our life to all men. To all men. Help us to be a reflective light of Your love and Your peace and Your harmony with one another. As we continue praying today, if you're here and you're just looking for peace, would you just raise your hand so that we can pray for you? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. So many hands. Thank You, Father. Lord, those that raise their hands, those that have not raised their hands, Lord, You know their hearts. God, bring peace into their life. Father, we pray for those today that are here that raise their hands, Lord, that they understand it, they feel it, and they find it. But most importantly, that they pursue it actively. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.